And because we cannot behold God's glory, he didn't take us like Moses and hide us in a cleft. Instead, he hid himself in human flesh, and his glory was veiled as he came in that person of Jesus of Nazareth, the Son of God in human form, born of the Virgin, born in such lowliness that people, ordinary sinners, could stand before him and they could look upon him. And yet when they looked on that man, they saw, as the scriptures declare, the glory of God.
This message is from Rock of Ages Lutheran Church in Payson, Arizona. Rock solid hope for Rim Country. December 25th, 2024. Exodus 33:18-34:7.
I'm sure it's not going to come as a surprise to all of you here this morning, though it might to some, but the original St. Nicholas died. He was quite a character, actually. The stories about him are quite interesting because he at one point gathered with the church for the council at Nicaea, and refuting someone named Arius who was speaking against the person of Jesus, saying that Jesus was true God, got in a dispute. I guess he lost his cool, and so he slapped or punched Arius. Of course, this was upsetting the whole council, and he ended up apparently getting thrown into the jail for it, for disturbance. But he was apparently released because he had a vision of the Virgin Mary and Jesus, who told him that he was supposed to be at the council and supposed to be set free, and he was given a robe and a Bible. And when they opened the jail cell, the story goes, they saw him reading the scriptures and dressed in a fine robe. So evidently after that, he was set free by Constantine and able to attend the council. There's a lot of stories about St. Nick, and as we know, he's not immortal, but his memory seems to be. And when people talk about him today and the things he supposedly is doing around the world today, notice how elusive he is. That is, you're not supposed to get a glimpse of him or a picture because he's mysterious and elusive, and nobody gets to see him because he's so magical. Well, our God is kind of, we might say, elusive. But is he elusive because he's not alive? Or is he elusive because we're not supposed to know he's not real? Hardly. In fact, it's very different from that. The reason we cannot see or behold our God is not because he's like some Santa Claus that is just a story that continued to live on. No, we can't see him because he is so glorious. And because his holiness is so great, we cannot stand and behold such glory. Not us in the state we are right now. That's what we see with the people of God as we look at how God, the Lord, interacts with them in the Old Testament. Specifically, we'll be looking at Exodus 33 and 34. And here we see how Moses makes a rather bold request. He wants to get a glimpse of God's glory. Certainly God wasn't hiding from the Israelites. He had shown his presence. Far more than leaving some gift or something, he had delivered them from Egypt with great miracles and signs, the 10 plagues, the death of the firstborn. And then when he led them out, he divided and parted the seas. He led them as a pillar of fire by night and a cloud by day. He fed them food from heaven. They knew God was with them. They knew that God had been present, and God was not merely some figment of their imagination. He was real, and he was delivering his people. But there was a problem. You ever get in one of those arguments with a coworker or a friend or a spouse where you're just so much at odds with each other, you're wondering when it's going to end, when the battle line is going to be drawn, and you're going to say, it's over. You just want that signal from your coworker or the person that you love to show you that things are right. That's what happened with Israel. They are the ones who turned against God. You're probably familiar with how, because they wanted a glimpse of what God looked like, they actually fashioned an idol, right? They made that golden calf. They worshipped and said, "This is the God who delivered you, the Lord who delivered you from Egypt," because they wanted to see God. And yet it was a pathetic sight, wasn't it, that artifact made out of human hands in the gold and metal. That wasn't their God. They knew when Moses came back and they were confronted for their sin that they had rebelled. that they didn't deserve to be with God. This was more than some office argument or dispute with a loved one. This was the people who God had done everything turning completely against him, abandoning his word and his commands, worshiping another God. How would they know that they were right with him? They needed some signal. Moses especially needed a sign. So he says here in Exodus 33, Moses said, "Now, show me your glory." That is, he needed a glimpse of the glorious God who had told him and said with his word that they are his people yet. Even though they've sinned, he will continue to go with them. And so Moses, emboldened by that gospel, that wonderful truth that God still loves sinners, wants to glimpse his glory. There's a problem. The Lord says, "I will cause my goodness to pass in front of you, and I will proclaim my name, the Lord, in your presence. I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and compassion on whom I will have compassion. But you cannot see my face, for no one may see me and live." Moses, though he has this relationship where he can speak with God and commune with God, is told by God himself, "You cannot see my glory. It's not possible for you, you sinner, to behold a glimpse of who I am." And yet God provides a way. He says, "I'm going to put you in this cleft in the rock, so when I pass by, you're not going to see my full glory, only in part a glimpse of my glory." And what we find when this takes place is the real glory of God. When you and I are searching for knowing what it is to be right with God, and when we are wondering if this God who we cannot see, who we do not behold the glory of, if he really loves us, listen to what he declares his name is. The Lord, it says, passed in front of Moses, proclaiming his name. The Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands, and forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin. He is absolutely merciful, absolutely loving. And yet, he goes on, yet he does not leave the guilty unpunished. He punishes. Sin is not simply something that a glorious God says, "Well, you can go ahead and hate, and you can be selfish, and you can harm others, and you can turn against me, your creator, and it'll all be fine. I'll just ignore it." No, that's not how God operates. He is holy. And holiness demands justice, just as you, when you are wronged, demand that people make things right. God demands justice. He is absolutely holy and just, absolutely merciful. And how do we know this? We got a glimpse of his glory. Remember what John said, what we read earlier? John testified saying, "We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father." How's this possible? How can we get assurance from God that this is true, that he is absolutely just, absolutely merciful toward us? Well, his glory was seen in his Son. The Word became flesh and made the glory of God known. And because we cannot behold God's glory, he didn't take us like Moses and hide us in a cleft. Instead, he hid himself in human flesh, and his glory was veiled as he came in that person of Jesus of Nazareth, the Son of God in human form, born of the Virgin, born in such lowliness that people, ordinary sinners, could stand before him and they could look upon him. And yet when they looked on that man, they saw, as the scriptures declare, the glory of God. Jesus, when he neared the cross, said, "Now is the time when the Son of Man will be glorified." And it was when he was lifted up and placed on the cross. And there you have full assurance. Though you cannot see him, the word he declares to you is true. He is merciful. He is holy. The cross existed, and the death of Christ happened because of an absolute God who does punish every sin, who's absolutely holy, and who we cannot stand before, And yet he's a God of absolute mercy and love, who took our sin on himself and took the punishment and the price for us on the cross in human flesh, so that we might behold the glory of God, the God of mercy and love, the God of justice, the God who sent his Son, and the Son of God, together with the Holy Spirit, the Lord, who is, yes, holy, 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 but who is merciful, loving. And we get a glimpse of that glory. You don't have to doubt or wait or wonder, because right now that glory continues to be revealed. It's given to you today in his word. Just as Moses could not look on God's glory but heard it, you hear it still. And that glory of the word of God still comes to us in his sacrament as he gives us his word, that his body and blood are together with the bread and wine. You can't see it, but he promises it's true. And that glory will be revealed in a full revelation when he comes again, our living Christ. Because yes, he did die, but he rose, lives forever, and his glory is everlasting. Right now you get a glimpse. Right now we celebrate that glimpse that his word is true and we are forgiven. And someday you will behold him in all his glory. Amen.